Well, good morning. As you can see, we're still under construction. There's a lot of progress that's been made. And so thank you for your patience and thank you for your prayers. As we will be having worship over at the Fellowship Center again, and we're praying for the morning service that God would just move in a mighty way. And as well as in this service, I know that God can use this resource to reach people for Him. And I pray this morning that people will get saved and their lives changed, and Christians will be encouraged to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, as we have been to construction last night, Karen and I came by, and we looked at this, and we began to think, this is so opening. And so we took some time last night just to kneel here and pray. And we found it more comfortable. And even though this has not got a lot of fancy things on it right now, it's just plywood. But we kneeled here and prayed, and it was so much easier to get up, I guess at my age now. But this whole thing here and this whole thing here, we're hoping and praying that this is just an inviting way for people to come and talk to our Jesus and talk to our God. So you continually pray for us as we, and as God leads, may He get the glory. I want to also let you know about the May 8th, the Billy Graham films will be shown here. It'll be about a 30-minute video, and we invite you to come. We invite you and your friends and family to come watch this Billy Graham film. It'll be on Saturday afternoons, May the 8th, and continuing after that. It'll be at 4:30, so put that on your calendar and take advantage of that opportunity. Also, June 20th through 24th is a great opportunity for us to reach out to our community. We're going to have Vacation Bible School, and we're needing helpers. We're needing workers. So please pray about that. Please, if God lays it on your heart, and I believe it, most all people, even you, love children, and you love seeing people come to know Christ. And so we invite you to come and help be a part of that. But definitely, definitely be in prayer about that. So this morning, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Entitled this, Do You Have Prizes? Memory verse this past week has been, But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Father, as we come to You this morning, we just pause and invite Your Holy Spirit to fill us and take over this time together. May we just be still and know that You are God. May this morning, God, You speak to our hearts and souls. Search us, O Lord. Help us to respond to You this morning. Father, for those that don't know You as personal Savior, I pray that today is their day of salvation. I pray for those, Lord, that in the last few weeks we've had several that came and rededicated their lives. Life has got them off track, and they rededicated their lives, and you can see that zeal and that excitement in their hearts and lives. So I pray that God, even more of that today. That God, we would just keep our eyes on You. This morning, God, may You begin to do a work that only You could do and bring You glory and honor. In the power of Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we had our granddaughter with us. And she would say, Do you have prizes? A lot. So that's the title of the message is, Do you have prizes? And I begin to think about that. As someone has said to you that they know something that you don't, does that make you want to know what it is that they know that they're not telling you? When someone knows something, you want to know what they know. What if somebody says, I have something for you? Does that make you anticipate what they have? Do you like to wait? Most people don't. I believe God is revealing to us and to everyone things that He has in store for us, blessings, prizes, if you will, rewards that He has in store for us, deep things of God that He wants to reveal to us. But are we seeking it? Are we really searching and seeking Him? Or are we looking to the world for the prizes that the world has? I would rather have the treasures that God has in store. He's revealing to us each day. In the Scriptures, He talks about, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Yes, that's a part of heaven, but I believe in this text, I believe He's talking about us to here and now. And we must have faith in God and in His wisdom and in His plan and in His power. We should place all of our faith and trust in Him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I try to figure things out and try to understand what's going on. And God has a much larger, a much deeper plan that's going on. And I look around and I hear things and I'm wondering, is the news reporting only what they want us to hear? What they want us to know? Is there more to it than what's going on? You know, if I hear that China is looking and progressing maybe to take Taiwan, I look and see that Russia is trying to take over Ukraine, and I hear that Iran is trying to build a nuclear, and I see all these things going on around us, worldly. And I know that God has a plan, a much deeper plan than I understand. I know that there is, and this bothers me, that there's a great falling away from the faith. And I hear this almost weekly, that pastors has gone away from their ministry and then just folded it up and quit and moved on. I see where some major leaders, some major theological leaders in our country, their children or they themselves have said, I denounce being a Christian. I don't believe in God anymore. And you see that falling away. What is going on? Scripture has told us this. What is going on? We look at our little spot on earth, but there's a much bigger event going on and taking place. And I believe it's a time that America needs to repent more than ever, that we need to have more people seeking God and His plans and what He has for us, finding out what it is, those deep things that He wants to reveal to us. I believe there could be judgment coming. But I know that the plans that God has is already been planned out and is in His Word. And we must seek Him and seek those things that He has for us and what's going on. You know, we see our little spot on earth. We see our own family. We focus on our own circumstances. But God has the master plan for the world, doesn't He? He has a master plan for our nation. And He also has the master plan for our church. You know, I look up here and I see a blueprint of how to put this together. But God has a much bigger plan for each of us. And the way that we respond and the way that we react makes a difference in the big scale of the picture. So are you seeking and are you searching for God's plan? When are you really receiving the daily blessings that He has for you? When you wake up in the morning, do you really receive the prize that He's given you breath for a new day? That He's given you opportunities for a new day. That He's given you a roof over your head. He's got food in your fridge. And you've got clothes on your back. And do you see those prizes that He's already given us? He's blessed us. And are we utilizing them? Or are we trying to hold on to them, store them up? Are we going to utilize them for God's glory? You know, in Isaiah chapter 64 is kind of where the Scriptures came from, that he quoted there in Isaiah. If you'll look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. You get to the right page. It's early. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Wait for him. You know, God's got a plan daily for each of us. And trying to figure it out instead of leaning on our understanding, just lean on him and trust him as to what he wants to do. And so those deep things that God has in front of us, keep seeking him daily. It's not just a once thing that you read it, look at it, and take over it and just don't go back to it anymore. No, it's a daily thing that God's doing a new work in our lives. We need to receive that. We need to look to God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I see people, we have a hard time waiting. I don't want God to mold my character as I'm going through this. Or I don't want to depend on him more. And I don't want to reveal, I don't want to know that there's a new thing. I don't like change. And that's kind of the wrong attitude of going about it. God, what do you have for me today? Help my eyes to see and my ears to hear what you have. And help me to abide in you and just continue to follow you and see what you have. We must trust God with all our heart, soul, and mind. But we must be teachable. We must be moldable and say, God, what do you have? I'm willing. And place our confidence in him. Because of that relationship that we have with him, we can follow him and say, yes, Lord, I know that it's you. It's a territory that I've not been in before, but I'm going to trust you. I'm not comfortable with what's going on right now, but I'm going to trust you. I'm fearful about what's taking place, but I'm going to trust you. You see, Israel, in Isaiah, when he spoke there, was in captivity. And they were waiting on God to set them free. They had been suffering under the judgment, under their sin, that suffered the consequences, and they were held in bondage for like 70 years to Babylon. And so they now have been through that sin cycle, and they begin to repent and turn toward God, and God told them, I have more plans for you than you could ever conceive. And so, as they repented and continually sought God, they had to trust him. They had to wait on the Lord and see what he had in store, because God's promises are sure and true. God did hear their prayer and not only deliver them, but he had a much larger plan for his people, as well as he does you and I that know him. God's ways are not understood by those who don't have a personal relationship with him. They don't understand it. And the world that does not know God or trust in God as their Savior, they don't have any idea why or who or what. But as followers, God reveals those things to us. Franklin Graham recently said that we have a deep need for forgiveness, both as a nation, as churches, and as individuals, that God's judgment is coming. You know, today, most people you hear are offended by something. But the one thing that we don't hear a lot of is we're offended by sin. Seems to be widely accepted. In 1 Peter, what could be these prizes that we're talking about? What could be this reward, that deep things that God has, the eye has not seen nor the ear had heard? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter. Back up, David. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive, get this, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. A crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is speaking primarily to leaders of the church. That gift that's being used, not necessarily just teachers, but those leaders in the church that's involved in the various ministries of the church that all people should be involved and engaged in God's work in His church. It has become more difficult these days to give volunteers. So I pray that God would pierce your heart and draw you by His love to the talent and gift that He's given you to use for His glory. And this is primarily talking the crown of glory to those leaders in the church. You know, I recall some years ago, this individual that was really reluctant. It was almost like he was being made to work in VBS. And reluctantly he came, he worked, he had a poor attitude. You got this impression that it was, I've got to be around all these hyper kids that, you know, they're just running, they're out of control. And after the first day of that VBS, I saw it take place. You know, he was reluctant, but he had a gift. And he had a talent. And he was using that gift and that talent for the Lord in Vacation Bible School. We always thought that men should not probably be a part of it. But he did. He came and he participated and he got involved. And I began to see on the first day of that Vacation Bible School that man's heart melt. It was a little boy that he had at Bible school. And I began to see those build that relationship, those two. And I began to see that whole attitude, that whole demeanor in that man change. And I began to see him utilize his gifts and talents and just working in all aspects of the Bible school and just being so helpful and seeing him work with this one little boy that he took a liking to, and this little boy just melted his heart. And he was not only ministering to that boy, but he's ministering to the other kids. And so as the week went on, when he got to witness this little boy coming to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I saw this reluctant man break up in tears. And he told me later, had I stayed home or did my daily routine and not listened to God and came, I would have missed some of the biggest blessings that I've ever had. When I think about that, what's God calling you to do? We're needing helpers from VBS. We're needing more workers, teachers in Sunday school. We're needing more people to get engaged in the ministry. What are God's laid on your heart? Pray you call me and talk to me, or just come and volunteer. Keep seeking, serving God, and He'll keep revealing to you those things that He has in store for you. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on what God has in store. We all of us that have accepted Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, we all will give an account about what God has given to us and that talent and gift. We all have to give an account for what we do. And I pray that God will just richly bless as you increase your engagement, involvement in the kingdom. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, James is talking to us. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And God cannot be tempted with evil, neither be tempted by any man. And that is God's promise. That's what God wants us to lean upon Him, because He is not the one that's tempting. We are to lean on Him. I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to miss out on the blessings that He has. He talks about the crown of life in Scriptures. Like the crown mentioned, it's a form of honor. It's a form of recognition that Jesus bestows upon those who are faithfully serving and honoring Him. It is helpful to think of these crowns as a medal of winning the race, some form of public recognition where we receive a prize and you hear God say, "Well done," and God will be pleased. And I want to please God. I don't want to break His heart. I don't want to miss out on the blessings, and I don't think you do either. By no means does this mean that we can earn our salvation. No. It's by God's grace we're saved, not of ourselves. If it was by works, we'd boast about it. But it's not. It's only by the grace of God that we're saved. The Holy Spirit of God living inside of us will help us to endure this temptation that you're not alone. God, you can, with His help, you can resist the devil and he will flee. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's the promises of God. In Acts chapter 20, if you would turn there with me. Acts chapter 20, verses 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul kind of puts it into perspective there. What's important to you and I is to finish the course that's set before us, to press toward the mark of the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. God does take care of His children. Those that love God, you're passionately abiding in Him to please Him, not to please yourself or honor yourself, but to please Him. As a child of God, those promises, those prizes, those rewards, those blessings are going to be bestowed upon you. The personal blessings are not of this world. These prizes, these rewards, these blessings are not of this world, but they are available to you if you'll receive them. God has much, much more in store for you and for Roan Creek Baptist Church than we already have. And God's richly blessed us, but He has so much more in store. Let's keep seeking Him. Let's keep seeking the deep things that God has for us. See, God is much, much larger. He's bigger. He's smarter. He has more power. He has more plans for you and I than we could possibly even think of. I like the pattern that Adrian Rogers spoke of. He says, there's the guilt when we're convicted of the Holy Spirit. There's the guilt. There's the grace. There's the grief. And then there's thank God for the glory, because God defeats evil with the cross and the resurrection. Perfect God wants to reveal to you His personal plans for you. An imperfect person, God has more in store for you, but you must seek Him. See, the world celebrates and puts on a pedestal and thinks highly of things that are not necessarily as important, not even comparable to the things that God has in store. Maybe even the wrong things that the world celebrates and puts on a pedestal. The entertainers, the athletes, the government leaders, the professors, the teachers, they all strive to be excellent and excel in their professions. But listen, they're not the experts on the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the role model. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. We must seek Him. Just as the Corinthians here relied on worldly wisdom, many Christians today are still searching in all the wrong places and in discernment and insight. You see that daily, that Christians are still searching in all the wrong places for discernment and insight. They're seeking this worldly wisdom. We think we're making wise decisions and all the while ignoring the counsel of God's Word. We must seek God's Word. We must be in this Word to understand what God's deep things He has in store for us. Because if our eyes don't see the Scripture, we don't hear from God, we don't spend time with God, how are we going to know the things that God has in store for us? How are we going to receive the blessings if we're closed off to that? If we push busyness and other things before spending time in God's Word, reading His Word, trying to understand what He has for us, and listening to God in prayer and seeking out what He has in store for us. God calls us today to grow up in every way, to grow up and to grow and to lean into Him. He's the head of the church. He is our master. God has so much more. Don't settle for less when God has the very best. The world will only give you fake and temporary happiness. It fades away. It leaves you miserable. The world cannot duplicate the eternal blessings of God. You and I must turn our hearts toward Him. We must repent of our ways and begin to seek God. Never in a day do we need more people that are called of God to seek Him, to serve Him, and to share about Him. We go by the facts. Excuse me. We go by the facts of the Word of God that we're all sinners and we're in desperate need of a Savior. We go by the fact that we've all sinned. But God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We go by the fact that God says if you will confess and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. We go by those facts, not by the feelings. We go by the facts of who we are, who He is, and what we need. We go by those facts that the Word of God says, and we have faith. We place our trust and faith in God's Word and who He is. Then the feelings, we have the fact, we have the faith, and then the feelings. Your feelings, if you let it lead, will lead you wrongly. You say, I just want to go with the way my heart feels. No, that will really lead you wrong. Let God lead you by the facts of His Word, by the faith that you have in Him. God will. If you will confess, admit, God will forgive. He will cleanse from all unrighteousness. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. A lot of people are walking around daily, and they don't know. If you would ask them, are you going to heaven? I hope so. I'm trying real hard. You can know by the facts of the Word of God that you have placed your faith in the Word of God and that God raised Him from the dead. Then you can have the feeling of, I'm assured, God lives within me. He will give you a new start. Some people today watching right now, you need a new start. Either by way of coming to Christ and confessing Him as Lord, or repenting and rededicating your life. This morning, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in a powerful way. Are you listening? Are you willing to hear from God this morning? He knows your heart. He knows where you are in life. He knows what He wants to do. Will you let Him? He has the rewards, the blessings, the promises. to reveal to you. He will give you a new strength. He will give you a new life, a new focus on life, a new outlook on life. He will give you the power, the Holy Spirit's power living within you. He will give you a peace that passes all understanding. He will give you a new joy. Not happiness, something that happens, but He will give you an eternal joy that floods your soul. He will give you a new purpose for living if you'll just trust in Him. He offers that. Will you receive it? Do you have prizes? God has prizes. We must run the race looking to Him. Are you running the race that's set before you to receive the blessings from God? I pray you do. If you need to come to repentance this morning, if you'll just admit there where you are, God, I've sinned. I've got off track. I know I'm saved, but I'm not serving You like I should. I'm not abiding in You. If you'll just admit it, God says He will forgive you of all to give you a fresh new start. He will cleanse you from all that. Also this morning, some are watching. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You might have joined a church. You might have been baptized. But the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning about your spiritual condition, about your soul. That you don't have peace with God. And this morning, the Spirit of God has spoken to you that you need to ask forgiveness of your sins. You need to just call out to Jesus, confess Him as your Lord and Savior this morning. Believing in Him. Believing that God raised Him from the dead. And that you want to place your trust and faith in Him and Him alone. Just by grace you're saved this morning. Would you do that? Your life will be changed forever. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to walk around thinking, I hope so. I hope I've done enough good things. None of that. Because of the fact that God said, He will forgive me. God said, I'll place my faith and trust in Him, confess Him as Lord, and believe that God raised Him from the dead, I will be saved. And place your faith and trust in Him. What is God calling you to do? I pray you'll do that this very day. May God richly bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as You have spoken this morning, Lord, I don't come with persuasive words. I just come looking at Your Word because I know Your words will not return void. Lord, I humbly ask Your Holy Spirit to move on the hearts of those that are watching this. Some needs to get saved today. Some needs to rededicate their lives today. Some needs to get on board and get engaged and connect, utilizing the gifts and the talents and the passions and the call that You have on their life for Your kingdom. Whatever it is, Lord, that You're dealing with their hearts, I pray that they'll receive it and that You'll reward it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.